This is going to be a fascinating hour. We are so fortunate to have joining us on Fridays, Mr. Bill O'Reilly, one of the steady voices of reason for two decades on Fox News, and was one of the first hires at Fox News from Roger Ailes, who passed away yesterday. We're going to talk to him about Roger Ailes, James Comey, the president, the world at large, and have him try to help make some sense out of this week in review. We begin there with Bill O'Reilly right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mr. Bill O'Reilly, how are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
You are so warm and friendly and personable. I don't know if you catch that every time, but I can feel
it oozes out of the phone line.
You say very little. Just that opening, and I think. Loves me.
Yes.
And
yes.
Loves being here.
Yeah. Well, I rehearsed that all morning. Did I do okay?
Oh, man.
Yeah,
it sounded so sincere.
The depth and the warmth.
Anyway, Bill, I thought of you a lot yesterday.
Are we in a wind tunnel or
an oxygen tent? What the hell is happening? Can you stop with the breathing in the phone? You sound like Anthony Weiner.
I am outside.
Okay, well, you might want to come back
can
inside.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good God. We try to do a professional radio program. I mean,
I understand, but I'm a child of nature.
I know. I feel that exuding from you. Yesterday, I thought of you, Bill, because of Roger Ailes. And you probably knew him better than anybody at Fox. And he didn't reveal all sides of himself to everyone. He is one of the most complex men I have ever met. He is, in some ways, an icon to me, an idol to me in some ways. And honestly, personally, one of the biggest disappointments in my life at the same time. And it's weird. I've never liked someone as much as I like Roger Ailes, and then despised some of the things that he did at the same time.
Well, I can't speak to your situation because for two reasons. Number one, you are my friend. And number two, he was my friend. And as you know, didn't get involved with that.
I know.
When you were at Fox News, only to the extent that I told him quite clearly that you were very beneficial to the network. And then you and I partnered up to do a tour together. And so he knew that I was in your corner. So I don't know any more than that, and when you left, I was obviously disappointed because I didn't think it was good for the network at all. But, you're you and he was him. And
yeah, I'm not even talking about that, Bill. I just... You know that Roger, when he wanted to be, would be ruthless. And I don't want to get into all the charges back and forth of what happened to other people, because that's going to happen in court or none of us were there for that. So I don't even want to talk about that. I mean, if Roger wanted to protect you or somebody else, you knew he would. He would be loyal, loyal, loyal.
Yeah.
But there was also this side of him that, when he wanted his way, he could be the most ruthless man ever.
Well, I don't know about that, but he was certainly a businessman who operated in a world where what was good for him was going to happen. And so if you were going up against what was good for him, then there would be a conflict. And I understand that. I had to deal with that too.
I know
that thing about Ailes. But you and I both know, and this is important, and I want people to read the USA Today op-ed that I wrote about him. You and I both know that what television and radio is all about is about one thing, money. And if you get in the way of money, you're going to get hammered and you're going to die. If you can make them money, you'll prosper.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. So Ailes, that was his basic business plan. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to crush the opposition, not just beat them. I'm going to crush them, okay? Because there were very, very strong psychological reasons why he hated the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
He felt that they were arrogant and they never were fair to him, and there was all of that. But the one thing that separated him, and everybody should know this, even if they don't have any emotion invested in Fox News or Roger Ailes, is that if you got into trouble and he thought you were a loyal person, he would do anything to help you. And that is very different from most of the executives that
work
in radio.
Very true. Bill, what was it like at the beginning of Fox News? When you were there, I mean, you were one of the first hires, and he came to you, and you said in your USA Today article today, your op-ed piece on him, you know, do you want to see a treatment of what I want to do? And he said, no, just tell the truth, take no prisoners, don't make any, you know, no sacred cows, and don't screw it up.
Yeah. Well, he knew me from Inside Edition, where I had anchored that program for 6 years and made it a success after David Frost got fired after 3 weeks on the
Frost.
Air. And that that's Dale's the businessman. So he knew me. He knew that I turned the program around. He knew that I could do it. But I was surprised that because I had heard, well, he's this ideological guy and, mm-hmm. you know, he wants it his way. And I was surprised that he never told me, hey, I want you to do this or hammer this guy or be friendly to that guy. Never. He just wanted me to go and do it. And that's why we were successful.
Roger Ailes is gone. He left Fox News. They started changing Fox News. Obviously, you are no longer with Fox News. I remember somebody said to me when I was there, so who's going to replace Roger Ailes? And I said, I don't think anybody can replace Roger Ailes, but they certainly weren't really grooming anybody. Bill Schein was probably the closest that could begin to think like Roger, but he never in his mind, I think, left the roots that he had in Ohio. He could still think like somebody in the center of the country, which is nobody in New York City at an executive level is doing. We've seen this week. Go ahead, comment on that, and then I have another question.
Look, Roger was a child of, he was one of the first baby boomers, okay? He was a little bit before that, born in 1940, but he had that mentality, and his father was a tough guy. And, you know, Roger came from a working class and he was a hemophiliac. So as a child, he had, you know, tough health issues and he was a small guy, was a little rotund. So I think he was a victim of bullying. He took all of that and he said, you know what? I'm going to show you. And I don't care who you are. I don't care, if you're Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan, or if you're, the head of GE, I'm going to show you. I mean, I'm going to show you how it's done. Because I have a link, just as you have and I have, with regular Americans, working Americans. I have that link, and that's what made him successful.
You think that's what he saw in you? Because I think that's the same kind of attitude that...
No doubt about it. You know, he could have had all these, you know, stones and forests and, you know, all of these network people who were named after inanimate objects. Could have had them. Could have hired them. All right? He could have done that.
I saw...
He could have had pocket hankies all over the place, British accents,
yeah.
You know, Peter Jennings clones. Could have done all of it. But he wanted regular people. And so he hires me. He hires Hannity. He hires, you know, a bunch of tough Irish guys who we knew would be brawlers. He hired you. And he put together a staff that he knew blue-collar people would identify with. It's not, you know, he was a genius, but what he did wasn't genius. It was just out of the mainstream. And that's why Fox News became a $2.5 billion a year grossing bank. I mean, can you imagine that much money? And
he
that's
did,
what
he,
happened.
He was a genius. And what he did, I think, was genius. It was just out of the, it was just actually in the mainstream, but not the mainstream of media. But you know as well as I know, Bill, that you could be confused by one of the most complex issues of healthcare and the bills and everything else. You'd see Roger Ailes for 2 minutes, and he'd boil it down off the top of his head in two lines, and you'd go, that's freaking genius. It's brilliant. He could just
that came from
boil
his
it down.
Background. You know, he told me a story one time about Ronald Reagan, who was foundering, and I have this in my book, Killing Reagan. I have this exact story in the book. And Reagan was lost when he was running as Mondale a second time around. And he got hammered the first debate. So they brought Ailes in for the second debate, okay? Because the poll numbers are going down for Reagan. Reagan looked discombobulated. Nancy was freaking out. So here comes Ailes walking in, okay? And he didn't know Reagan that well. And he sat Reagan down, looked him in the eye, and said, hey, you're going to lose. The whole thing's going to blow up unless you start to wise up. Mm-hmm. And then Reagan was startled because who talked to Ronald Reagan that way when he's president of the United States? Nobody. But, you know, you can see Ailes doing it. And then Ailes says, here's what you're going to do, all right? We're gonna have three or four themes that you're going to emphasize, and I'm going to give you two strike lines that when we know Mondale's going to say certain things, you're going to go back at him. And one of them was, I won't hold my opponent's age and inexperience against him. You remember that.
Yeah.
So Ailes was a political guy, a political consultant, and he basically brought that over to TV. And he didn't want pinheads. You know, he didn't want pinheads on the air, you know, with, I think we have to go back and look at the Taft-Hartley Amendment. That gets you fired faster than anything. So, you know, his formula worked. It works to this day. They're still doing Roger Ailes on Fox News. The personnel has changed, so they're having a hard time. But they're still doing what he put into place.
You know, you said that he didn't hire rocket science people, but I don't know if I've ever told you about my interview with him. The first time that I had met him two or three times, and he just said, let's just have a casual dinner. I just want to get to know you. And then he said, I'd like to talk to you about joining Fox. And we had dinner together in some private room at a steakhouse in New York. And the first question he asked me was, what did you think about the 1972 China trade deal? And I said, Roger, I got to be honest, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then the next question was, well, what did you think? What was the biggest accomplishment of the Eisenhower administration? And I looked at him and I said, Roger, I got two ways to go here. I could either bluff and kind of make something up, or I could tell you the truth. I'm not up on that one either. And possibly end the interview right here. But I'm going to bank on not bluffing with you. I don't know. He said, really? And then he said nothing to me for 10 long minutes as we ate.
Really? You ate your salad, so.
Yeah, but he got up. Neither of us had salad. And we got up afterwards, and then he pushed me to the wall. I mean, questioned my faith. Got in my face so much. And I thought, this is over. I lost 15 pounds of sweat. And I thought, this is over. I'm never going to work at Fox. He stood up at the end, and he said, it is great to meet a man who actually knows what he knows, isn't afraid to say it, and isn't afraid to say what he doesn't know. Good for you. And that was the end of the interview. It was a nightmare. A nightmare. He was wicked smart and knew exactly what he was looking for.
Yeah, and he carried that over, and that bluntness got him in trouble, as I wrote in the op-ed. You know, there's two ways to take it, the way you took it, and the way that some other people, they hated him.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people, because I watched you closely, because you have a reputation of being a hothead. And I never saw that. And I saw, what I did see was Bill O'Reilly expects you to do your job and to do it with excellence, because he's doing his job with excellence and not phoning it in. And if he's not going to screw it up, you don't screw it up. So the only time I ever saw anyone have a problem with you was when they were bluffing. And it was the same with Roger Ailes. It's the same with me. Don't bluff. We can all work together. Just do it.
If you're going to run a successful enterprise in an ultra hyper competitive situation, you have to demand excellence. You have to. It's like the military. I mean, if you're going to be one of the elite troops, I mean, you can't allow people to, you know, slough off or give you 75% effort. So, you know, I mean, but a lot of people don't like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't want to be challenged. And a lot of people don't want to be criticized. So, therefore, Ailes made enemies after enemies after enemies, plus his conservative ideology alienated the press right off the jump. And they were out to get him. I mean, if you look at the clip file from the time Fox News started in 1996 to this very day.
I know.
The negative Fox News articles run 100-1.
All right, Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly at BillO'Reilly.com. We're going to continue our conversation. I want to ask him when we come back if, you know, MSNBC is beating Fox News for a week after Bill O'Reilly leaves. Does Fox News survive without Roger Ailes, without Bill O'Reilly and others? In a possibly new direction. We get that. Also, I want to talk about Trump, the week he's had, Comey and everything else, as he joins us every Friday. And you can hear him every day on his podcast at BillO'Reilly.com.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Bill, I've got about 2 minutes here, and I want to switch gears going to Trump. But one last question on Fox. Something stunning has happened that has never happened before. You leave cable news, and Rachel Maddow is now the number one person on cable news. And MSNBC won cable news for the week. What does that say about what's happening there? I know you watch the ratings. Is this beginnings of Fox actually having to really work hard to hold its place?
They have a problem. Fox News has a problem. There's no doubt about it. Whenever you lose key personnel in any industry, competitive industry, sports, media, you better have a plan. And it doesn't look like FNC has a plan. The Trump haters are going over to MSNBC, and there's a lot of them, a lot of Trump haters. So they're being bolstered by the problems the president is having. But on the Fox News side, you know, they made their decisions. They didn't have to make those decisions. And they really didn't have a plan. You know, when you take a guy like me out of the lineup and I'm doing 5-6 million viewers a night, you better have a plan to replace that.
Yeah, well,
Tucker Carlson is very talented. He's very good. But I don't see a plan.
Okay, Roger, we're going to come back, and now we're going to talk about the week of Donald Trump, the mistakes that were made. What did the press miss? How about the new special prosecutor, James Comey? And Anthony Weiner is back in the news. Bill O'Reilly returns next.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. Program.
Bill O'Reilly joins us now for a look at the week in review. Bill, Donald Trump had a pretty hair-raising week.
I think that's true. And if you want to break it down, we can do that in about a minute. The first thing that put him back was a allegation that he gave classified information to two Russians when he met with them, the Russian ambassador and the foreign minister. That story is bogus, and it's gone away pretty much now. But the anti-Trump media ran with it heavily. Okay. But look, Trump in conversation was trying to convince the Russians to help him with ISIS more. So he said, look, you know, they want to bomb everybody's airlines. You've already lost one airline over the Sinai. Here's what they're doing. Our intel says they're close to doing it. That's not giving away national security. And he has a perfect right to try to convince the Russian. These are the two top guys. So it's like talking to Putin.
That's well,
a,
I mean,
that was a bogus story. It went away fast.
I will tell you that, you know, Israel couldn't be more happy that Trump is in office. And they said it was us. And the official word is we're good, and et cetera, et cetera. But some of their generals did come out and they were pushing for we can't trust America with anything.
Yeah. All right.
You know, so, I mean, it was a big deal, but it wasn't an impeachable offense, which the media was trying to make
it. I'm looking at it from a does it hurt the American people? And it does not. OK, the second one, much more serious. So, he fires Comey. I don't think Trump, by the way, because he's such a wealthy man and in his life never really had to deal with blowback, understands that when you take a controversial action, people are going to come after you. Mm-hmm. So what happened was he fires Comey. Comey's friends in the FBI said, OK, now it's our turn. So they leak out notes that the former FBI director took on a one-on-one meeting with the president. And the notes say that Trump wanted Comey to lighten up on the National Security Advisor Flynn, who was fired as well. Okay, big story. Got to get to the bottom of that story. But here's the deal. As soon as I heard that, I went, didn't Comey testify under oath that there was no interference in the Russian investigation in front of Congress? Yes, he did.
Hang on.
That there was no interference in Russian investigation? Yes, he did. Okay, so now you got Comey and McCabe both saying under oath, hey, you know, there's no interference. All right, so then...
Wait. May I just point out something? I just want to point something out here. He answered a very specific question about was there interference from the Justice Department. He did not talk about White House interference. He answered a very specific question. Was there interference from this person, or this person? And that's the answer. No, there was no interference there.
Okay. But on McCabe, it was much broader. And all I'm saying to you is this. If President Trump did put the arm on James Comey in a private meeting to somehow go easy on the Russian investigation in total, that should have been reported, and it was not.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
That's all. So then you basically say, all right, we have a mess. It's a mess. And, of course, the anti-Trump media is impeach him, hang him, set him on fire, you know, all of that. So I'm sitting there going, okay, why don't we just have a level headed? Now, I did call for on BillO'Reilly.com in the podcast, as you were nice enough to mention. I did call for a special investigator to be appointed, because then Trump could say, okay, I'm going to cede my mistake. Let's get somebody in here. And Mueller's a good choice. With one exception, and this was pointed out in the Wall Street Journal today, Mueller is a friend of Comey's. So there's no doubt that the leak came from the FBI, and that's why Comey got fired in the first place, because Trump felt that the FBI was leaking all kinds of stuff out. Now, I think that's going to be borne out to be true, my opinion.
So you're one of the only people, by the way, talking to Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com, who knew he had a podcast or a book. But he's just written a book called Old School. Two books? What's the other book?
Killing the Rising Sun and Old School Life. Get them for Dad.
Whatever. Yeah, get them for Dad. They've got to sell. They're backing up in Bill's garage. He's got to get them moved out. He's got
to. I know. I don't have to go.
Got to pull his family van in there anyway. BillO'Reilly.com. So, Bill, this is interesting because a lot of people knee-jerk reaction is. Special prosecutor. We don't need a special prosecutor. I think this is actually good because I really don't believe, that Donald Trump is involved in some scheme with Vladimir Putin. I don't believe that he was trying to, in nefarious ways, get Comey to drop it. I think what he was looking for was, look, dude, I want to be your friend. You be my friend. There's nothing here. He's leaving anywhere anyway. Let's just move on. And I think that he doesn't think of things the way he needs to because he's president. He's thinking of things like a businessman.
Agree, here's the important question for you. How do you say dude in Russian?
Yet. You okay. don't.
Look, the key part of your question was the word jerk. So on the left, whatever Trump does is impeachable and we have to murder him. On our right, we don't want to know because we like him. So the special counsel, whatever you want to call Mueller, right, is necessary to stop the madness, which it has. Which it has. Stop the madness. We have a country to run here. If we need a fourth investigator, FBI 1, Senate 2, House 3, if we need a fourth, fine. Now, it isn't Trump's style, and I can tell you this because I know him very well, to make backroom deals that don't benefit Trump to the tune of billions of dollars. And he doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. He did want to have a good relationship with Putin. Yes. Did he sell out? Did he do anything untoward? We'll find out. We'll find out. But right now on the record, there isn't anything.
So, but you do believe that these investigations are important and can clear this up.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Do I.
You gotta
so there's
that.
A lot of people, Bill, though, that are on the right who just don't want to hear it, and they think that this
is that was Nixon too. When Nixon left office, 33% of Americans didn't want him to, according to the exit poll. When he got on the helicopter and waved goodbye.
So
he's always going to have that partisan.
So let me ask you this. So the other part of this, one, we have to have an independent investigation. Let's just get it done. The second part of this is, I mean, I leave out the press because I don't think the press is curable at all. But the president has got to learn that this is not a business deal. You're the president of the United States.
Absolutely.
Will he learn that?
That is the most astute question that you've asked in this hour. The big mistake that Trump made, and he can't make it again, was having a private meeting with James Comey. If you're president of the United States, you don't have a private meeting with anybody. Didn't the Lewinsky thing, get through?
Right.
You don't meet privately with anybody, ever. You always have somebody there. I mean, Andy Card was Velcroed to Bush the Younger's thigh.
Bill, you were there at the height of my, controversy with me, when I was white hot, hatred or love. And even I, at that point, would never have meetings with people. I'd never have dinners with people. By myself, ever. And that's me. I just knew I was a target.
Absolutely.
The president
Absolutely.
Has got to learn this.
I always left my door open when anybody would come into my office. You can't. And the fact that Comey, Trump doesn't even trust him, and you meet with him alone, you can't do that.
If you're an advisor and you're talking to Donald Trump, what is the advice you give to him to make this stop?
Well, he's already done it. So you can't, the Justice Department appointed Mueller, but that Trump had to okay that. Sessions doesn't do anything on his own. So he's already done it. And it's already succeeded to some extent. Now he goes over, goes abroad. It's a big dog and pony show over there. Yeah. And the anti-Trump press is going to come out with something every day. That. Every day there's going to be something else. Yeah. Somebody will leak something, and they'll do this, and they'll do that. But it doesn't reach critical mass, all right, unless there is a very specific allegation. And now Trump has just got to say, hold it. I did, you got four investigations. Let them do it. Let them do it. And then he doesn't have to be involved with it anymore. So I think he avoided the bullet, but boy, he can't make too many more mistakes. He just cannot do it.
Going over to Israel, he won't say that, or he said that they're not going to move the embassy. I thought if there was anyone who would move it, it would probably be him.
That's a Netanyahu call, though. He's not making that call. He's going to do what Netanyahu wants. So we don't know. We're not privy to what Netanyahu wants. But if Netanyahu wants the thing, the American embassy in Jerusalem, it'll be there. If he doesn't, it won't. That's what's going on there.
You're saying Netanyahu tells our president what to do on that?
On a case like this, yes.
Hmm. Wow. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. I pay him in sandwiches, so I promise him that he could say something nice about something that he's done.
We need to get everybody mobilized to go to BillO'Reilly.com to get signed book specs. And I'll give you yours free. Oh, signed, wow. Killing the Rising Sun for Dad and Granddad.
Wow.
Signed,
you know, I don't believe I have any of your books signed. I don't think you've signed a single book for me. Not one.
But now I will. But who are you going to give it to? This is what I want to know. I'm going to send you two signed books. All right. Now, you can put them right up on eBay and make some money. But if you're going to give them to somebody, who are you going to give them to?
I'm going to give one of them to my dad.
Give him old school. I'm sure he's an old school guy, right?
He's going to love it. I'm gonna take a shovel and bury your book right next to him, and he's going to love it. He's going to love it.
Oh, nice. So. Very good.
BillO'Reilly.com. Nice. Grab his books. The Killing the Rising Sun is fascinating. You'll learn more than you ever knew about World War II and Japan. And old school,
I
didn't
read.
Can I say
one more thing?
Oh, geez, what?
Can I say one more thing?
What?
If people came in on this interview late. Beck posted on The Blaze, and I posted on BillO'Reilly.com the whole interview from top to bottom. So I think people might want to listen to it again. If they came in the middle, they can hear the whole thing.
And I especially want you to listen, go back and listen to the warm, friendly greeting.
It meant so much to you, right?
It meant so much. It
moved all of us deeply. It moved us all deeply. No, you couldn't do it any better.
Morning, I started it.
People say that you're a cold bastard, and I don't see it.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Would it help, Beck, if I called you dude? Would that help?
I think so.
No, it really wouldn't.
I think you should go back too and listen to the incredible compliment that Mr. O'Reilly paid to you, Glenn, when he said, "This is the most amazing question you've asked in this hour," which was a huge, what a hurdle to clear.
You're
the most beautiful girl in the room.
And we're alone. Bill, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bill O'Reilly every Friday and every day at BillO'Reilly.com.
One thing I like about Bill O'Reilly is he never makes me feel panicked. Like, whenever there's a really stressful situation, he just kind of says stuff, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess we're all right. Well, who cares? Yeah. We'll make it through this.
Very calming.
There's something calming about the way he talks about issues that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
You freak me out.
And you know what? I want to, but his deal is he never reads beyond the day. He has told me this over and over again. Off the air, I'll say, come on, Bill. George Soros, come on. And he's like, you can live ahead of the news cycle. I live today. This I know to be true today. And that's where the tension between us comes, which I really enjoy. He smells like a funeral home. When you talk to him, don't you just... You can just
feel that
hear.
Funeral home.
Yeah. Okay. I'm only saying that because I know he's listening.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Hello, and welcome to Friday. We've got a lot to still cover, and I want to cover some of the things that you can do this weekend, some of the movies that are opening up, some of the things that we have to pay attention to in the news over the weekend. And let's just say this. Thank God it's Friday. America, you've made it another week.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.